John.
Yes.
What's up?
Well, it is Saturday, April 12th.
No, March.
That's what I'm talking about.
Saturday, March 12th. March 12th.
I thought it was tax time already because I got it confused with corporate.
Okay. Well, yeah. There you go. Yeah, you got to file the corporate tax returns.
Yeah, I'm flustered.
Well, this is Fireworks Brigade.
Yes.
Episode 30.
Oh, my God.
It's
30.
Where it's like, is 30 a big thing? Like, if it was 18, we'd be old enough to, well.
If this was an anniversary or something, it'd be amazing. If this is my 30th birthday, I'd really be super happy. But 30th episode of Fireworks Brigade, it's a short milestone.
It's a short one. And we actually have that list here. I think it's like third on your pieces of paper. Episode. I love some of our names.
Yes, I do too. I was looking at them on that website that you guys just did, and I thought that was really awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Episode 30, and you know, all the miles we've traveled and everything else, and we actually have a new guy in charge of our website. So the website's looking good.
That looked really
good. We're going to do some videos. I'm excited about some videos when we go to Fargo.
Yeah, somebody had asked me about video, and I said, we're going to start doing video.
Yeah, we got to definitely do
and
some
then,
video.
So this is what they call, if I'm not, this is a cold open.
This was our cold open.
Okay, see, that's good. I'm learning.
We've been sitting down here talking for about 5 minutes already, and I didn't want to waste it.
No, this is perfect.
But yeah, it's a while. We have a lot of fireworks to talk about today. I have a lot of stuff to talk about fireworks.
That's good.
Yeah. Since we are the Fireworks Brigade.
I'm kind of excited about fireworks myself because right now it is a very busy time for them in Fargo. I'm still on my hiatus, but I'm actually nervous about it. Like I feel like a kid that didn't go to school in September August when the school starts now. But I feel like I'm a kid, like I should be at school, but I'm not.
You feel like you're playing hooky.
Yeah, I feel like I'm playing hooky. And every day that goes by, I really feel like I'm playing hooky more. And then I'm hearing how busy Dino is and how busy the staff is. And I just can't really wait to get there and see what they've
done. Knowing Dino, some of that might be a little hyperbole.
Well, he makes a lot of it up. I mean, you know, when he puts the bank and the post office into his daily duties, you think that was like going to the post office would be like someone else, you know, I don't know, going to the eye doctor for 3 hours where it's going to take you some time and you gotta dilate your pupils and you don't know if you're going to have vision after this or not. And that's what he makes the post office sound like. And it's only a one lady post office in a town only a half a mile away that nobody ever goes to.
It's like Mayberry.
The post office said they stay open for us and the guy next door to us.
In Horace.
Because we're only trying to mail anything out.
In North Dakota.
In North Dakota. Right. So, I mean, it's not like when I say, I'm going to the post office, doesn't mean I'm going to the downtown Chicago post office.
Well, I mean, what did we say about Dino, though? He procrastinates in reverse.
In reverse, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, and the only reason we do this to Dino is so he listens to our podcast, because he solely listens to see how we jab him. He's told us before. That's the only reason he listens. So I figure in this cold open, we should jab him to get it out of the way in case he does want to go to bed. After the cold open, he just falls because we're not going to talk about him.
Get this out of the way early. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I don't know. You texted me a few weeks ago, and you talked about some issue you had with an Apple Watch or Apple Store.
Oh my God!
Well, let's do the open, and then we'll come back.
Okay,
all right?
Let's do that.
Let's
that
do our official
good.
Open.
All right.
Mom, Dad, our mom got an Apple Store.
It's so sterile. My pods, my phones, a Brainiac bar.
I can't afford any of your products, but can I buy some fake white earbuds so people will think I have a MyPod?
Sure. Those are called MyPhonies. Oh, and they cost $40.
Oh, I'll never get a Mapple anything.
I hate this MyPod. I can't watch movies on a screen this small. And the music today, don't get me started. Come on, isn't someone gonna get me started?
Oh my God, isn't it awesome having an iPad, you guys? Hey, baby, where's your iPad? Oh, right, you're not cool enough. Hey, you see my iPad token? Funny, you don't seem to have one. I thought your family was rich. Ha ha, you dumbasses have to play Foursquare because you don't have an iPad. Oh, what should I do on my iPad next? I think I'll email some of my friends. Oh, no, wait, maybe I'll download some more cool apps. This is so awesome.
Attention, Mapple Universe. Prepare for a live announcement from Mapple founder and chief imaginative officer, Steve Mobs.
Steve Mobs!
He's a genius!
He's like a god who knows what we want!
Greetings, it is I, your insanely great leader, Steve Mobs. I'm speaking to you from Mapple headquarters deep below the sea with an announcement that will completely change the way you look at everything.
Ooh.
And that announcement is...
You're all losers!
Huh?
You think you're cool because you buy a $500 phone with a picture of a fruit on it? Well, guess what? They cost $8 to make, and I pee on every one!
Oh.
I have made a fortune off you chumps, and I've invested it all in Microsoft. Now my boyfriend Bill Gates and I kiss each other on a pile of your money!
Oh.
Mom, everyone knows that everything but Apple is stupid! Mom, do not screw me over again! If I take that thing to school, everyone's gonna think I'm a poverty-stricken
Eric, stop acting like a spoiled brat. You can either have the Toshiba handybook or you can have nothing at all.
Oh, I've got a better idea. Why don't you go across the street and buy some condoms? Because we should at least be safe if you're gonna with me, Mom!
In a word, Brian, what is this job all about?
Fire.
I sense you wanting to unleash, so why don't you get me started on this Apple story, and you can be like Cartman and rail against Apple.
Well, the Apple story, I mean, does have something to do with fireworks.
Really?
As
oh,
well.
Good.
Okay, so anyways, the owner of Legend Fireworks in China WeChats me, you know, at around 11:30 at night and says...
Well, but in China, it's...
Yeah, in China, it is... 1:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how when I'm WeChatting them and they say, oh, it's midnight, I'm going to bed. And they just sign off. But when they're WeChatting me, they keep talking until 3 o'clock in the morning like it's nothing. So anyways, so owner of Legend Fireworks, he WeChats me and he says, hey, buddy, can you help me out? I need you to buy me the Hermes edition of the Apple Watch.
Hermes is like a designer, right?
Is a designer, yeah. I think... French designer, I think they're originally in France or whatever like that. And for those
makes
of
sense.
You who don't know, it's really spelled Hermes.
Right, H-E-R-M-E-S. So,
it's kind of like, you know, that it's kind of like Herb Chicken, but then we have a guy named Herb Anderson. So what? I don't understand, why would he be called Herb Anderson? But anyways, so we have the Hermes edition watch by Apple. Very expensive. And the Apple Watch is just stupid. But anyways, so...
It's just stupid.
It's just stupid. So I call up the Apple store, which is about 30 miles from my house. And I said, hey, listen. Oh, yeah. See how beautiful it is? Real nice.
Well, it's got a leather band on it.
Yeah. That's a different band than the one I got. But anyways, that's the one I got right there. It's a two-tone band on the inside, but it's not. It doesn't reverse. So why two-tone?
Yeah.
I've
no got
idea.
A black, well, black face, but the face is changing. It's got a brown leather strap.
Yeah, brown leather strap, and the inside of that strap is actually a different color too. If they have that one, as
oh, and it kind of rolls around your wrist twice. It's
that's
like
if you buy the long strap.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, and they got a black.
There
one.
You. That's the one. See the black with the brown there. That's the the watch.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyway,
so you get a text.
Well, I call up Apple and I says I would like to find out. I want
you called an Apple store.
Call up an Apple store,
okay?
And I want to find out if they have the Apple Hermes edition watch. And he says, "Oh, I can't tell you that over the phone because it's just all inside sales. You have to come here and actually buy the watch, or you know, come here and talk to us about the watch." I'm like, "What? It's almost retarded because why? I mean, why can't you just tell me before I drive 30 miles to buy this watch if you don't have it?" But I can't tell you that. And we had the same similar situation with the iPhone 6S Plus that the Chinese people wanted as well.
So they wouldn't tell you if they had any in stock. So you have to come here.
You have to come here because we never know when we are going to get the stock in, and it's something that we're not allowed to give out over the phone.
I got an idea. Why don't you just go ask the guy who's in the shipping department and ask him if we're getting is FedEx coming today?
And they don't even know when FedEx is going to show up. It's one big huge secret, which is just you know you have all these brainwashed Apple people walking around.
Right. Well,
so I drive to 30 miles to the Apple store.
Mm-hmm.
Lo and behold, they don't even carry the Hermes edition watch at the store at all. And they never had any, they were never going to get any in either.
None of the stores?
None of the stores. Only the stores carry it are New York, which is Manhattan, Miami, San Diego.
Okay.
Los Angeles.
There's a lot of them.
And I think that was it. So I'm like, if you know that you don't even carry the watch, I could see, I was asking if it's in stock, but you could have just said to me over the phone, I'm sorry, sir, we don't carry the Hermes edition in the store, period.
Right.
Instead of making me come there like an idiot. So then I get there and I make him, now that I'm the idiot, I say, no, you get on the internet and you tell me where the watch is being found, since they have all these Apple computers sitting there idle. I'm like, no, you get on your own computer and find it for me.
Right.
And then,
did he find it?
Oh, yeah. He found it in San Diego.
San Diego.
But you know that you cannot order it online.
You have to go to San Diego?
You have to go to San Diego to buy the freaking watch.
Or Miami or New York. Or,
yes, which, you know, and I'm not going to any of these places.
Right. So what did you do?
So then, out of the, you know, once again, I hate to give up a fight. So I call my friend up in San Diego, and I said, Oscar, could you please do me a big favor? Could you go to the Hermes or the Apple store in San Diego and pick up this Hermes edition watch? Then I had to wire him the money, you know, into his account.
How much is it?
I think it was $1,300, I think. Or
$1,300 for a watch.
For the Apple Watch, which does nothing unless you have your phone next to it, which is which is senseless anyways.
Right, it's silly.
So anyways, I sent my friend to San Diego, and the thing came in this huge, big, nice-looking Apple box. And then I shipped that off to China. But if I had to run my store that way, could you imagine if someone says, hey, do you have any Black Cat firecrackers? And I go, nope, can't tell you that. Got to come in.
Right.
People would be livid.
Right. Well, I think, you know, they just wanted
it
you
just
to come in.
It creates hype.
It creates hype, right.
I know. So when I did the same thing with the iPhone 6 Plus S, I called the Apple store, same Apple store, and the guy says, oh, I can't tell you the information. I says, why can't you? I don't understand what is the big deal. Do you have the watch or you don't? So he said, well, we have the not the watch. We have the iPhone 6S Plus, but I can't tell you what color we have in stock. I'm like, okay, that's fine, because I figured if I get there and they don't have the rose gold one, I can just get the Chinese man anything else, because he'll be fine with it.
Right.
So I go there, and I see one of the little greeters with his phone, with his little Apple iPad ordering tablet.
Uh-huh.
I said, yes, I'm here to pick up my iPhone 6S Plus rose gold telephone.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, do you have an appointment? I says, no, I called up earlier and you said you have it in stock. So he gets his little ordering tablet out and he tells me, no, we don't have that watch here, or we don't have that phone here.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, we had this conversation on the phone. I told you 30 miles.
Right.
I'm not coming here.
Right.
So he says, well, you need it in rose gold, and who's your provider? I says, no provider. I need an unlocked phone. Well, then he keeps punching buttons on his little tablet, and he says, let me go see if we have any in back. I'm like, I think you should. So he comes back and he says, oh, you're in luck. We did find one. I'm like, no, you're in luck, because I have 946 reasons to start hitting you. You know, so then I plop down $946 cash for this telephone, which I think is, it's just, I mean, I have an Apple phone, but they give it to me for free. If I had to pay $946, and then you have to, like, jump through hoops to get it. Like, they're actually, like, they make you feel like, hey, you should be lucky, because I went in the back for you. But, so anyways, the whole iPhone thing, I'm just a little upset. The whole Apple people, I'm a little upset with, because you should be able to order one online. This day of ordering online, this is computers. They've done it all.
Right.
And I can't even use the computer to order a watch. I have to do the old-fashioned way, go into the store. Now, isn't that kind of ironic?
Well, it's a little backward thinking. Yeah, Apple has a, what would you call it? You know, they're a little bit egotistical, right? And they're a little bit full of themselves.
I think so.
Yeah, absolutely. They think that they're better than everybody else, and you know, people bow down to, you know, to the altar that is Steve Jobs. Did you see any of those movies, by the way? Did you like those movies? Did you see him, Steve Jobs?
I started watching when I was in a hotel room. Did you? I start watching.
Was it the one with Ashton Kutcher, or the other one with my girl? I love her, Kate Winslet.
I don't remember, actually. I just I didn't realize that Steve Jobs and what was the other guy?
Wozniak?
No, Wozniak. That's from Shades of Blue.
No.
Who's the guy from Microsoft?
Wozniak. It was Wozniak and Jobs.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, Microsoft is Bill Gates.
Bill Gates. That's right. I didn't realize that Bill Gates and Steve Jobs were friends.
Yeah, well, that's a good movie, Barbarians.
I think so. And did you know Bill Gates actually gave Steve Jobs a whole bunch of money when his company was going bankrupt?
No, I did not know
that. Yeah, which I thought was, that'd be like me giving, like, Generous Jerry money when he's going bankrupt instead of, like, sitting out there whistling zip-dee-dee-da. Right.
Well, I mean, but if somebody called you and said, hey, do you have Black Cat firecrackers, would you, and you didn't have them, but you have, obviously, you have your brand, you wouldn't tell them, you would just tell them,
I would say, I would say we don't carry Black Cat or we don't have any Black Cat in stock, right. But I do have other firecrackers in stock that are just as good or if not better, and you should come and take a look. But I'm not going to sit there and say, oh yes, come on in, and then have the guy drive 30 miles and then like surprise attack him with a roll of lady fingers. I mean, which is what they wanted to do to me at that Apple store.
Yeah, they're like I said, they're a little bit egotistical, and they think all their people bow down. They it's like rock concerts. They people wait in line when like you said, you should be able to just buy this stuff online. And I tried to make an appointment at the Apple store, and we record these episodes on a Mac, and and I tried to get an appointment it's not easy to do, but you don't need an appointment if you're going to buy something. If you're going to go buy a computer, you don't need an appointment. But if you can't just like walk in and say, hey, my phone don't work, they got the people there with their little tablets.
And then I said, who are you? He's like, I'm just a greeter. Well, you guys are all greeters. Well, who actually gets the phone? That's what I like to see.
The genius. Oh, the people in the back.
Yeah. Yeah, but I would like to speak to them, because the greeters tell me, oh, we don't have the phone in stock. But I don't believe the greeter, because after I pursued, all of a sudden the greeter found that we had one in the back after he told me, oh, we don't have that. Right. I mean, I just think, here's what I think they do. They don't – maybe Apple does not tell the store – workers when they are getting a load, so the store workers won't save them or something like that.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but I think what happens is the store, this is just in my little mind, I think the store workers, when they do come in, the store workers call up all their friends.
And they come get them.
And they tell them to come get them. And then when people like me call up on the phone, they say, no, go online and check availability, or go online, make an appointment and come pick it up. So the ones that come in goes out to the friends. And then you got everybody making an appointment. So, yeah, it would be great. I'd like to say, hey, you know what? Come and buy your fireworks on July 2nd between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. because I'm free. And, I mean, it's just, you have to be ready when people come in.
Well, luckily for your friend in China, you knew somebody in San Diego.
I know. I was, and then I even called up the San Diego store. And, of course, they're not even open after 7 o'clock in San Diego because it's just,
Diego.
Yeah. San Diego. And then someone said to me, well, why don't you just go on Amazon.com? But I wasn't aware that you could buy an iPhone on Amazon.com or iWatch, and I'm not sure if you could even buy the Hermes edition. And then I also called the Hermes store.
Well, yeah, because they have their own stores. Yeah.
Yes, and they close also at 7 o'clock.
Okay. Does Hermes, they have their own stores.
But they don't have many in stock because it's really an Apple product. So they have like one, and it was just a nightmare trying to find this Apple Watch. And I did find it, but it was just like, and I don't know what this watch cost in China, but I hope it's a lot more.
Yeah, but how many people that work at the Apple store, how many greeters that work at the Apple store can afford a $1,300? Although they have friends who come in and buy the watches. Yeah, and anytime it's a limited thing like that, but really, how limited is it?
And the main thing was, if you don't even carry something at your store, he should have been honest to say, hey, you know what, we don't even carry the Hermes. Not just, well, come in, and then show me the iPad mini that you have 1,000 of that nobody wants. And they're getting, they're all the same product. It's just different size. So it would be like me selling in my store all firecrackers, all different sizes only, and that's all we have. And that's Apple. That's all Apple has.
But it's just, they have the same thing packaged different
ways. Yeah, the iPod, and then you got the phone. iPod makes no sense if you got a telephone.
Well, but the iPod was first, don't forget. Yeah. Yeah, then, so the iPod, I don't even think they sell. Do they still sell iPods?
Sure they do, because...
Well, no, I mean, I don't even think so, because now everybody has an iPad.
So then they got the iPad, then you got the iPad mini, you got the iPad Air. It's the same product over and over.
Yeah.
And then the iPhone 6 Plus, you know what? It almost looks like your iPad mini.
<It's close. laughs>
only with a different name.
hey, this looks awful familiar.
So, I mean, you guys just go in the back room and go, oh, let's put a different faceplate on this and name it something else.
This looks awful familiar. I had to.
You're almost as bad as General Motors.
You talk about like the employees and stuff. When back in August, I went to see the Foo Fighters at Wrigley Field. And the Foo Fighters would do they have a different artist do like a special poster, like, you know, just see old time like rock concert posters, you know, the cartoon or whatever. They had a special artist that they would contract to do one for every show. And for like Wrigley Field, they did like four separate ones every day. They did a different one. You know, they were really cool. And I was going to the concerts. And I'm like, oh, I want one of those. And it's like a limited thing, like 500 of them. Okay. And, On their website, it said the day of the show, go to the booths outside at noon when they open up, and they'll have them there, limited edition, until they run out. But in the meantime, you know, I'm waiting in line. I got there at noon because like Pauline and I were going to hang out in Wrigleyville anyway. And, you know, we're waiting in line. There's maybe 10 people in front of us in line. I get to the front of the line. They open up the doors at noon there, and oh, we're all sold out. And then you look on eBay, and they're, you know, it was a $20 poster on eBay. They're selling them for $300. I'm like, see? Really? You know, somebody bought them all. You know, one of the people who work in the vendor booth, they bought them all, and now they're selling them on eBay for like 50 times more than what the regular people could buy. And that's what they're worried about with these Hermes watches or whatever. They don't want that to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it just, but eventually, I mean, you have to, you know, I mean, you could go to a store and buy it, but, you know, once again, you have only a few stores that have them, so at least, you know, I mean, I just feel, here's a computer company and you can't buy it online. It's almost like the U.S. government wants you to pay your corporate tax on, you have to enroll in their, you have to pay it electronically, and you have to get a password. You know how they send you the password? Huh. By regular mail. I'm just saying, you know, they want me to do all this stuff on the computer electronically and pay them and get a password. But then when I go, well, it's the 15th, I need the password. And I say, oh, well, you're going to be late because the password we send by mail. Why would you not send the password by email? Oh, my God. No, they want you to be late. And now, you know what I did? I said, well, listen, I'm sending you a check. If you don't want it, just give it back to me. Because
right.
I think with this day and age where people not paying their taxes, I think you ought to just take it any way you get it. I mean, you know, it's like Sears, you know, Sears or Discover. They don't let you pay the bill in cash anymore at Sears. They don't take cash. Now, somebody comes into my store with cash, I'd be kind of stupid if I said, geez, I can't take cash.
Yeah, well, everybody's set up now to do everything online and they don't want cash anymore, which is ridiculous.
I mean, it is ridiculous. You know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember that. I used to go, you know, pay your Discover.
So now I don't have Discover card anymore because I like to pay my bill in cash. So I just get a bank, you know, some type of bank card, and then I just go to the bank and pay it in cash.
You used to be able to do that with Nordstrom, too. You used to be able to go pay your Nordstrom account online. Yeah. I mean, with cash, you can't do that anymore.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, like, if I had a credit card, I would rather have just come in and pay it any way you like. Pennies, nickels, dimes, cash. You know, you want to give me half check. You want to put it on a debit card. That's fine, too.
All right. Let's do some fireworks. Ready?
Right.
Well,
I'm
here's
ready.
This. So. You know what this is? You probably don't know what this is.
I thought it was a theme song for Dallas.
No. This is, and you actually asked me, NCAA, National Collegiate Athletic Association.
NCAA. Isn't it, the other one is NCAAP.
That's
something to do with, I don't know, minority colleges.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. NAACP.
NAACP.
Yeah, this is NCAA.
I know. Yeah, see?
That's a big
difference. Yeah, yeah. That, you know why they do that? So when you're looking for donations, you think you're donating to a collegiate team or whatever, and you're donating to whatever.
No.
I gotcha.
Stop being cynical. Yeah. Stop being cynical. All right, well, this is the NCAA. So this is March Madness. You know what March Madness is?
Okay. Yeah, I just came back from Vegas. I'm a March Madness fan.
Grab this big sheet of paper that is in your stack there, the 8.5 by 14, the big one. There it is. Grab a pen. No, you have it. It's right on top there. It's like folded over a little bit. You got it. Keep going. No, keep going. We'll get there.
This is it right here.
Fold it over.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. So now typically we do what we did. We would do the star chamber, right? And we would put one against the other and pick the good ones.
Yeah.
We're going to do our own version because, you know, the NCAA basketball tournament, they take 64 teams, then they play each other, then there's 32, then there's, then it goes to the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, and the Final Four or whatever. So
the Final Four,
The Final Four, and then there's the champion. So what I did was I took mostly Wise Guy brand. I took all your big 500-gram cakes, and we have brackets. We're going to put these brackets online. We'll let people vote on them, and I'm going to even send one to Dino and to Steve and to Devin or whatever and have them fill this out. But let's fill out our brackets, me and you, here while we're here.
Oh, that's incredible.
So let's go. So now in the under pressure division on the top left, So the number one seed under pressure, if it was going to go against Born to Ride, who would you think would win?
Born to Ride.
All right, so now write Born to Ride on there. I'm going to go with Under Pressure.
I'm going to write Born to Ride on the top?
Yeah. Okay. All right. So then the next game down is Crossbones and Boulder Man. Who would win in that version?
Boulder Man.
What is your criteria?
Just because I like certain
You like them better?
Better?
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this one, the number three seed, Burn Baby Burn with the Family Guy label, right? Against Dance with the Devil, which is one of my favorite logos. It's got the Joker on there, right?
Yeah.
So which one would win in this one?
Well, it's such a much bigger cake. I have to go with Dance with the Devil.
Dance with the Devil. All right. That's yours. I'm going to go with that one as well. All right. And the last matchup in the under pressure division is Death Row versus Vendetta.
Vendetta all the way.
All right. I'm going to go with Death Row. All right.
Okay.
All right. So now we're going to the Eternal Damnation division, which is down below here.
Oh, yeah.
The number one seed, Eternal Damnation against Heads or Tails. Who wins that matchup?
Oh, hands down, Heads or Tails.
Really? Why?
Oh, my God. Heads or Tails is very loud.
Is it?
Well, it's a really cool cake because it shoots out one shot color. And then it shoots out another shot to the other side of the sky, noise. And then two color, then two noise, 3-3, 4-4, and then the whole last 10 blow up together. So that's what makes it awesome cake, yeah.
I don't know if I've ever seen that one.
Oh, yeah. Heads or Tails is unbelievable.
All right. So we'll go with that one. And Pyro's, and here's the number two seed against the number seven, Pyro Fix against Jack's Back.
Jack's Back.
All right. I'm going to go with Jack's Back as well. All right, the number three seed against the number six, we got Protecting Lady, and these are all random, Lady Liberty against Judgment Day.
Protecting Lady Liberty.
All right.
Even though Judgment Day is a much bigger cake, but Protecting Lady Liberty is a great cake.
All right, and then the last one here, we got the number four seed against the number five in the Eternal Damnation division. We got Who Let the Dogs Out versus Blonde Joke.
Nah, I'm going to go with Blonde Joke.
I do, too. I like Blonde Joke, So I'm going to go with that one. Now let's go to the other side of the brackets. Top right, we got the Voodoo Daddy division. Okay,
Oh, yeah.
So Voodoo Daddy against Panic in the Streets. Who would win in this matchup?
Panic in the Streets.
I like Voodoo Daddy.
Okay.
And put your name at the top of this brackets because we're going to...
Where my name?
Just
my
put
name?
Your name. Oh, yeah, your name on top so I know whose this is. And I'm going to get Dino. You think Dino will do this for us?
I would hope so. Why not?
Why
not? It would be nice if we could play along.
Yeah. Hot Rod Heaven. This is the number two seed. Is Hot Rod Heaven against Nowhere to Run, the number seven seed?
Nowhere to Run.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Just like that one better.
All right. Returning Fire against Rise of the Apocalypse.
Oh, my God. Rise of the Apocalypse. Hands down.
All right. I like that one, too.
Yeah. Returning Fire, I didn't even bring it back. I moved that label onto a 200-gram cake and put it in an assortment, just not to waste the label. Yeah.
Well, these came off of your website, so I'm hoping I... Most of these are Wise Guy brand, right?
Yeah, Wise Guy brand.
I didn't have enough to fill Wise Guy, so I had to put some in.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you about this one, because I think I've asked you about this one before. And this label, whenever I'm walking around the aisles of Starfireworks, this label always baffles me because I have no idea what it means. Rock Chalk Madness versus Spy Hunter. What is Rock Chalk Madness? What? Where did you come up with that inspiration?
Well, Ron,
what is rock chalk?
I'm just appalled by this.
Why? What is rock chalk?
Okay,
mean?
I mean, you are a fan of sports.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, you ever hear of the team Jayhawks?
That's a college team.
College team, yeah. Jayhawks.
Right, yes. Yeah, I've heard of that.
It's Rock Chalk Jayhawks, Rock Chalk Jayhawks. That's like their theme, you know? So
no, I never heard
of that. Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to Google it right up. Rock Chalk Madness is the, you know, like Rock Chalk Madness. I mean, it's like rooting for the Jayhawks.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm positive. I'm a big sports guy. I mean, you know how I roll.
Rock Chalk Talk. Okay, there is a Google thing. Rock Chalk Talk.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Kansas Jayhawks news.
Yes.
Rock Chalk Talk.
So Rock Chalk Madness.
Is there a picture of that team on this cake? No.
No.
What's on the cake? It's a goofy picture of something.
I don't remember the picture.
It's a weird picture. But it's for all those,
you know, K-State, you know, because we do a lot with Kansas City and all that. So we figure we, you know.
Yeah, the Rock. Look at that. The Rock Chalk Talk. I never. All right. So there. Well, I'm going to go with Rock Chalk Madness just because. Again, Spy Hunter. What are you going to take?
I'm going to go Spy Hunter.
Rock Chalk Madness. All right.
Oh, Rock Chalk is louder. But
All right.
Spy Hunter is a very good game.
All right. So the next one we have the Die Hard division. This is the last of the four divisions. We got Die Hard versus the Instigator.
Well, this would be funny if Dino doesn't pick Die Hard
because his picture.
His picture.
Yeah, yeah. Next one, Alien Invasion versus the Dominion.
The Dominion all the way.
All right. I'm going to take that too. Inside Heist against Way Out There.
Ooh, Way Out There. Way Out. I'm going to go Inside Heist.
All right. And then Burned Alive, the last one. I think I know which way you're going on this one. Burned Alive against Boardwalk Empire.
Buried Alive or Boardwalk Empire.
I know you love Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah, I'm going to go Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah, I will too. All right. So now we got we started with 16-32. Now we're down to 16. So now you take the ones you wrote in. So what is your matchup now?
Oh, so now mine is Born to Ride or Boulder Man.
All right, who you taking?
I'm going Born to Ride still.
All right, I got Under Pressure against Boulder Man. I'm going Under Pressure.
Okay.
All right, and then what's your next matchup?
I got Dance with the Devil or Vendetta.
All right.
So I'm going to go with I'm going to go with Dance with the Devil.
I got Dance with the Devil against Death Row. I'm going Dance with the Devil.
Oh,
I love
yeah.
that. I love that label.
Easy.
All right, the next one, what's your next matchup?
I got Heads or Tails or Jack's Back. Are we going labels or performance?
Whatever you want.
I'm going heads or tails.
You're going heads or tails. I'm going to go with Jack's Back.
Yeah, that's a great label.
Yeah.
And a good cake.
Yeah. All right. So the next one, what's your matchup?
I'm going to go with Protecting Lady Liberty.
Again, okay. Yeah. I got Protecting Lady Liberty against Blonde Joke. I always like Blonde Joke. I always remember the guy who wanted that cake so bad but didn't want to buy it because he didn't want to offend his wife and daughter.
Yeah, he's got a wife and daughters.
I just told him, I said, take the label off.
Yeah.
All right, so on another side here, I got Voodoo Daddy, and I got Nowhere to Run. I'm going to take Voodoo Daddy. What do you got?
I got Panic in the Streets and Nowhere to Run. I took Panic in the Streets.
All right, so then I have Rock Chalk Madness, and I got Rise of the Apocalypse. What do you got?
I got Rise of the Apocalypse and Spy Hunter. I'm going Rise of the Apocalypse.
All right, I'm going Rock Chalk Madness. I got to go.
Okay.
All right, next one, the last of this. I got Die Hard.
Mm-hmm.
Against Dominion, I'm going Die Hard.
I'm going Dominion.
All right. And then I got Way Out There against Boardwalk Empire. What are you doing?
I got Inside Heist against Boardwalk. I'm going Boardwalk.
Yeah, I'm going Boardwalk too. All right. So you should have, we got eight left.
One, two, three, four. Yeah, eight.
Yeah, so my eight are Under Pressure, Dance with the Devil, Jack's Back, Blonde Joke, Voodoo Daddy, Rock Chalk Madness, Die Hard, and Boardwalk Empire. What are your eight? What do we have the same?
My eight is Born to Ride.
I'm surprised you didn't like Under Pressure. I thought you liked that one.
I do like that one, but I like Born to Ride.
All right.
Dance with the Devil.
All right, we got the same one there.
Heads or Tails.
No.
Protecting Lady Liberty.
No.
Panic in the Streets.
No.
Rise of the Apocalypse.
No.
The Dominion.
No.
And Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, so out of the eight, we have two of the same. All right, so now the Elite Eight. All right, I'm going Under Pressure against Dance with the Devil. I'm going Under Pressure. What are you doing?
Okay, so I have Born to Ride or Dance with the Devil. I'm going to stick with Born to Ride.
All right. And then I got Jack's Back against Blonde Joke. I'm going Blonde Joke.
I got Heads or Tails against Protecting Lady Liberty, so I got to go Heads or Tails now, definitely.
All right. On the other side, we got Voodoo Daddy and Rock Chalk Madness for me. I'm going Rock Chalk Madness. What do you got?
This is a strong line. I mean, you talk about a good game.
You got a murderer's row, huh?
Panic in the Street against Rise of the Apocalypse. I mean, that's just, wow, I'm going Rise of the Apocalypse.
All right.
Yeah, look at you. That's a great showdown, though.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Okay, so the next one I got.
This is actually a good. It actually works out good.
Yeah, like, this is going to be your favorite
showdown. Yeah,
this is going to be your favorite cake. All right, I got Die Hard against Boardwalk Empire, and I'm you know what, I like Dino, and it's his picture. I'm going to go with Die Hard.
Oh, I got the Dominion against Boardwalk Empire. I'm definitely going the Dominion.
All right, so my final four: Under Pressure, Blonde Joke, Rock Chalk Madness. Oh, so my final four is Under Pressure versus Blonde Joke on one side, and then I got Rock Chalk Madness against Die Hard on the other side. What do you got?
I got Born to Ride against Heads or Tails on one side, and I have Rise of the Apocalypse and the Dominion on the other side.
All right. So my on my J-Star, this is the J-Star bracket on the on the left.
On the left.
And the J-Star bracket, Under Pressure against Blonde Joke. Blonde Joke, they put up a good fight, but I'm still going with Under Pressure. Yeah. So I got Under Pressure in my show, my final showdown, and I'm going to go on the Rhonda Banker brackets. I'm going Rock Chalk Madness against Die Hard. I'm going with Die Hard. So my final matchup for the championship is Under Pressure versus Die Hard. What do you got?
Well, I'm going to, between Born to Ride or Heads or Tails, I'm going with Heads or Tails. And then Rise of the Apocalypse or Dominion, I'm going to go with the Dominion.
The Dominion, all right. So, all right, so now put a little more music on
I like these brackets, how they all like whittle down to the bottom.
Yeah, now you know what your favorites are. So
I thought it was a mob flow chart.
I didn't know the mob puts out flow charts.
The government does against them, and I thought you were
you get the big board with this yarn.
I thought you were racist profiling me again. I'm like, look at this guy. He comes up with a mob flow chart for me.
Oh no.
Well, that's good.
No. So
thank you, Paisan.
So I got under. So my final game of the NC. My it can't be NCAA. It would be the STARR brackets.
Yeah.
You know, my STARR March Madness, Pyro Madness. I got Under Pressure versus Die Hard, and you know Dino and who's the other guy on that cake with Dino? Is it just Dino?
Dino and Golden Boy Josh.
Oh, so Dino and Josh against the Sumu guy. And I just like I like Under Pressure because it's round and it's real
four last shots are great.
It's a very good effect. It's a very great cake. It sells great. It's a nice looking thing. The sumo wrestler's on there. So my grand champion of the STARR Final Four is Under Pressure is my grand champion.
That's a great song too. Under Pressure. Okay. So now I got Heads or Tails against the Dominion. So both very, very strong, heavy cakes. But I think in the end, because I designed both of them, I'm going with Heads or Tails is the winner.
There you go. So now people come into the store. You can say, this won the STARR championships.
I'm just trying to think because I'm pretty good with acronyms. So STAR could stand for Shoot the Apple... something RR. But I'm going to think of the RR. But
you will think
so
of
far
it.
As to shoot the Apple raging...
Rage, yeah. I don't know.
Roaring Ragers or something. But yeah, I'm going to get to the bottom of this Apple stuff.
Here, give me your bracket because I'm going to save these. And we're gonna compare this. And I'll give one to Steve and Dino. And who else in the warehouse would like one of these? Put this over there so we don't
Dino and...
Devin maybe,
but I don't think she knows haven't been there long enough, but maybe she's probably pretty good
She picks by names. You can even let people pick these
by name.
I might pass them out to some people I know.
The Under Pressure one, I just love the sumo wrestling. You see all like the little Chinese people trying to get out from underneath them. That's the hilarious part of it.
Absolutely.
I love that.
All right, okay. So let's go on to some more Pyros talk. We have China, Year of the Monkey. This was the Year of the Monkey. Do you know that?
Yes, it is the Year
of the Monkey. So by numbers, we have a thing here, how China's celebration of the Years of the Monkey breaks down by the numbers. China Spring Festival, also known as Chinese New Year celebration, began the Year of the Monkey, the ninth sign in the 12th year zodiac cycle, sandwiched between the sheep and the rooster. According to traditional Chinese belief, babies born this year will be monkey babies, will be smart, curious, cute, and perhaps a bit condescending. And then there's some numbers. This comes from the LA Times. Just throw out the ones that are on top. Just put them on the floor so this way you can catch up.
I'll catch up there.
It's got the pictures of the Pagoda and stuff on here.
Yeah, that's what
there's a lot of stuff about Apple there. We never really read any of it.
Oh, yeah, I gotcha.
You got it?
Here we go, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so the number of days China's essentially grind to a halt starting Sunday. Schools will empty, shops close. Have you ever been there for the New Year?
No, it's senseless for me to go there because, like I say, everything shuts down. The factories are all shut down, everything.
The festival marking the beginning of the new lunar calendar year celebrated throughout the world from Beijing to Singapore to ethnic Chinese communities across the U.S. Many Chinese described it as Christmas and New Year's rolled into one. Time to reunite with family, eat, drink, swap gifts, give offering to ancestors, and chase evil spirits away. 2.91 billion, the number of domestic trips to China's Ministry of Transport estimates that will be made over the New Year period. That's a lot of people.
Everybody goes back to their hometown or wherever. They don't. Everyone goes back to where their family is. If you're from Guangzhou, but their family is in the countryside, which they call it, everybody travels back home. And the factory shut down about a week before. And then they return about in a month, but they come back as they need money. So any containers that
sounds like a college student.
Any containers that don't ship before the Chinese New Year. It could be risky because the workers will come back, but they won't have a full force probably for about 2 months because it's cold in China right now. It's got some more. It's like our weather: warm days, hot days, but it's still relatively cold, and factories have no heat. So a lot of the older people they come back slowly,
Right, right.
And I have to say, because most of them are working 7 days a week all the time, long hours. So this is their big thing, like, hey, this is my month-long vacation.
Right, right. Oh, okay.
It does shut down pretty much, yeah.
100,000, the number of travelers who were stranded in southern city of Guangzhou. That's Guangzhou, right?
Guangzhou, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Main train station. Heavy wind and rain caused extensive delays. Pictures of miserable-looking crowds jammed around station entrances went viral.
Yeah, I've been in that crowd.
Have you?
Because in the beginning of October, there's another holiday, and it looks exactly like that. In fact, I took a picture of my phone. I just held it up, and all you can see is a bunch of millions of people in front of you. It seems like millions, but of course. But it is certainly something that you're not going to see like at Northbrook Court. it's going to be jammed here.
Woodfield, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Shields on a Saturday afternoon in Fargo. All right, 6 million, the record number of outbound trips expected to be made. Well, that's what we just kind of talked about. Chinese travel website. Wow, Chinese outbound tourism rose 12% in 2015. Most travelers visiting other Asian countries and regions such as Taiwan, South Korea, and Thailand.
Yeah.
690 million, the estimated number of people who tuned into last year's Spring Festival Gala. A notoriously cheesy large-scale variety show broadcast on state-run television every year since 83. 690 million people watch this TV show. Wow. Wow, wow.
I don't even know if our Nielsen ratings even go up that high.
I have no idea.
If they have like a digital board, it wouldn't even show 690 million.
And then this other one. So this other thing I got here, this is from the South China Morning Post. It was a story about this guy. His name is Wilson Mao. Meet the man who's made every major celebration go with a bang since 1997 as he prepares 4.5 tons, and that's a metric ton, of fireworks for Hong Kong celebration of the Year of the Monkey, the second day of the Lunar New Year holiday. I mean, it says here. So this is in Victoria Harbor. Is that where we were, right?
That's where we were.
So Wilson Mao Wei Xing arguably has the coolest job in Hong Kong, setting off 4.5 tons of fireworks. Several million dollars in Victoria Harbor. The 54-year-old has produced a fireworks show since 97. He's the CEO of, have you ever heard of this company, Pyro Magic Multimedia Productions?
No,
okay. Victoria Harbor. But he hinted that this year the fireworks show would feature happy simian faces to celebrate the Year of the Monkey. And I think if you go online, you could see they had fireworks, the pattern shells, which we talked about,
yes, yeah.
In the shape of monkey faces.
Well, that would be interesting.
So this guy has got the coolest job. And what they asked him about at the end here, which was pretty, go on page 404, which, and I, this sounds interesting to me. This one here, yeah, no, go to this one here with that.
Yeah, right.
So this last paragraph, Mao is constantly on the lookout for new ways to wow audiences and says drones could be the next big thing. This is weird. I had my little pea brain couldn't get around this. So drones are exciting. If we can shoot fireworks from them, I have tried it in China because it is not regulated there. Well, there's a shocker.
Yeah.
We could do whatever we want. Let's shoot them off a drone.
They wonder why the Chinese people don't like the Hong Kong people. They're like, yeah, just shoot it off over there because, you know, we don't want to bother us Hong Kong people.
Well, but in Hong Kong, it is not allowed, even though the harbor is closed. It would be nice if there was a law that allowed us to shoot from drones. So they're talking about putting fireworks on a drone? Because it says here, because it's going to change the dimension of fireworks. And this is where it gets complicated for me. Fireworks burst from a very high altitude and then drop down. But with drones, they can go down and then up and then down again, which is amazing. What are they talking about here? What is he talking about?
Well, if they shoot it off a drone.
A drone is the little ship in the sky.
The little airplane thing. He said, but if they shoot off a drone, it can go down and then up and then down again. I would think I could see it going up and then down and up again, but down. So I guess you're shooting a. Oh, okay. I got it.
I'm glad you got it because I'm completely baffled.
So the drone's going to be up in the air. They're going to shoot a firework that's actually going to fall down. Okay. It's actually going to come down.
You're going to shoot it from the bottom of the drone?
Well,
no.
Well, if they shoot it from the bottom of the drone, that would be fine.
Okay.
So the firework's going to come down because it's a projectile, so it's going to shoot downward. And then the explosion, when it explodes up, and that's what they're getting that theory from.
But isn't a drone – don't you have to have something stable, like a piece of ground to shoot a firework off of?
Well, I guess it – I mean, I don't know if they'll be able to shoot shells off of there, but they probably could shoot some cakes off of there, but – the percussion, I would think, would shake the drone. So I don't know exactly how, unless they're going to just shoot like one little piece. I don't think they could shoot a shell off a drone. But how big do these drones actually get? Because there are some like big drones, right?
Well, it's got to be. It's got to be a huge drone.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen like little remote control drones, you know, all throughout China and Hong Kong.
Yeah, we're not talking about a little thing you can buy.
Yeah,
at Best
so
Buy.
You would have to. Yeah, this would have to be like a military drone,
right?
So it would be shooting cakes off the military drone, which would fall down, and then the explosion goes up. So I can see what their point is, you know. So it's going to be shooting at you from down below, and then it's going to shoot back up because the explosion.
I would just think, well, then it has to be coming from the bottom of the drone. Because if you just shoot it from the top of the drone, it's just going to go higher.
It's almost like when they, if they were to shoot off a very tall building, and instead of shooting the mortar up, you just shoot it
sideways.
And then it would fall down.
Oh, yeah. Now I see what you're saying. Yeah,
and then the explosion goes up.
Like when we see the show in Vegas all the time or whatever. They're shooting it sideways because they're so high up.
They're so high up.
And then it's got a different perspective because it's not going away from you.
And that's what
I
was
going
to say. Instead of doing drones, we could just shoot off the high buildings in Hong Kong, which there's thousands of anyways. But
well, yeah, but if you
got... But they're doing it in Victoria Harbor.
Yeah. If you were doing it from a bunch of drones, that would actually be...
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I mean, over the water, sure, that'd be really sharp.
Yeah, absolutely. So, that's interesting. To you know, these with these drones and with all this technology, fireworks could be heading and all. And then I know I've seen like fireworks shows where they're actually have the they're been filmed with cameras.
That I originally was going to talk about that too because it seems like every fireworks show I go to lately has these drones. And more people are so mystified by the drone doing the filming that nobody's watching the fireworks.
Yeah, ooh, look at the drone.
Yeah, look at the drone. Yeah, exactly. Or just when they say, look at the smoke ring. The guy spent millions, and you're looking at a smoke ring. I mean, you know. So, yeah, it seems that the drones, and people complain about the drones in fireworks shows, of filming fireworks shows, because they're like, more people are watching the drone because it's something new they've never seen before.
So that's a real thing. People are complaining because the drones are taking the attention
away. Yeah,
like at
PGI, they're like, you're taking the attention away from the fireworks, so people are watching the drone.
Ah, okay.
But there again, if somebody's watching a drone over fireworks, obviously doesn't know that much about fireworks or drones, because once you right. see one drone, you've seen them all. So I might as well just watch the fireworks and look for something new.
Yeah. Good
I mean,
point. Good
you know,
point.
Is what I would. I mean, like, yeah, I was a. I'm like, wow, what is that in the sky? Is it a flying saucer, a bird, plane, Superman? No, it's a drone. And then once you see it, then.
Then
you know,
you're done. Yeah.
No, I'm done. Yeah, I didn't focus on it going, wow. I mean, it's yeah. like any other, you know,
right.
remote control plane like I'm looking at here in your basement.
Yeah.
Or, I should say, the studio.
Yeah. Way back in the bunker.
Way back in the bunker.
In the bunker. All right, you know what this is? This is your, a little off of the fireworks topic. This is your NDSU, the Bison.
Oh, the Bison.
I don't think we've talked. They made college football history with their fifth straight FCS championship. I just thought I'd bring it up because I know Dino would be so happy.
Yeah, and we've talked about how Dino's actually upset that they win because they're that good. I don't understand that right. whole, and he tries to explain it to me, but it still doesn't make any sense because they're still winning the other good team, just like,
right.
you know, the Heads or Tails won against the Dominion. They're both good contenders, but Heads or Tails won. I mean,
right.
You know,
there's got to be a winner. There's got to be a loser. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, yeah, that's, you know, like I said, I just did that because I knew yeah. it would make Dino upset. Yeah.
And he loves the Bison.
So, and also, there's a player on that team. His name, the quarterback, his name is Carson Wentz. And he's actually rumored to be going to the Chicago Bears. So I don't
wow.
is Dino a Bears fan? I don't
Dino,
even know.
Yeah, Dino's a huge Bears fan.
Okay, so there you go. He might, he'll give him something else to complain about.
Yeah.
Also, but although people are saying, you know, this guy, how good can he be because he's, you know, he came from the small school type town or whatever.
Yeah, we were talking about like how, you know, about colleges yesterday and how, you know, you could have a 22 on the SAT and they send you to, or ACT and they send you to a school that is
right.
way above your skills and you'll be there for 6 years.
Right.
So this guy, maybe, I'm just saying, kind of an analogy, is that he's playing for the Bison almost, it's like too easy
right.
to win. So now when he goes to Chicago Bears, he might go, wow, this is what it feels like to play against real players.
Right. Well right. That's what people are thinking. Right. Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely. So they
so
don't know if, you know, they wanted to.
Yeah, is he really tough enough? Because, you know, once you get, you know, once you're on the winning team, it's
right.
like playing poker for money and the guy next to you is a millionaire and you bring $200 with you. I mean, you know.
Right, yeah. It was,
the guy will lose his edge of pool of playing poker with a millionaire because he's going to beat you because of his money.
Yeah.
And the team is so superior to the other team that even though you're not playing 100%, the rest of the team is going to carry you anyways because you guys are all better. You know, I mean, you're just
right.
that
yeah,
good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You yeah. can't. Yeah. I used to watch that poker. What was it? The high stakes poker and all these guys that would play with supposedly with their own money, come in with cash or whatever. And the one guy that used to play all the time, Guy Liberté, and he's the founder of Cirque du Soleil.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, the guy's got, you know, oodles of money. If he loses $1 million, it doesn't matter to him.
Yeah.
They like, said he was, like, I don't know, you know, I don't even know, 20 times richer than Oprah, whatever it was. Like,
yeah.
How are you going to play poker against this guy? You
yeah.
cannot. You're not, you know, he's in a league on a whole different level.
Yeah, and then, like I say, a cash game, I mean, yeah. just, you know, eventually he's going to, you know, even a blind dog gets a bone every now and then, and same thing. You got, you know, Cirque du Soleil guy could be playing war at home, and eventually he's going to win one of the matches, and then he just buys in for more, and then you're done. So yeah.
Yeah. So all right, keeping it in sports theme, look at this picture on the screen. Is that the ugliest mascot you've ever seen in the world?
Wow.
This is the Blowfish. It's Blowy. His name is Blowy.
Oh yeah, I see the lips.
Yeah, he's a Blowfish.
Yeah.
So the Blowfish baseball franchise, this is in Lexington, Kentucky for the start of the 2015 Coastal Plain League season. They're playing home games at a new Lexington, Kentucky baseball stadium, Lexington County Baseball Stadium. So, but there was this controversy over this new ballpark. Actually, reading this wrong. It's Columbia, South Carolina. Wait, what was I saying? Kentucky.
Oh, Columbia, South Carolina.
Columbia,
yeah.
South Carolina. Okay. Live near a $37 million publicly funded ballpark. Many homeowners were dissatisfied with a noise study released Monday that did not take into account the sound from fireworks. Knox was referring to a contract council approved more than a year ago, giving Hardball Capital the right to operate the stadium as part of bringing minor league baseball back to Columbia. So it's Columbia, South Carolina. I don't know what I was looking at, Kentucky. But so they spent all this money, and you got little Blowy here. Look at Blowy.
He's actually cool looking.
You like that thing?
Well, I mean, okay.
That would scare young children.
Oh, and that's probably why I like it.
But here's a letter to the editor from thestate.com from Columbia, South Carolina. I couldn't believe that noise study for the new baseball stadium in Columbia didn't take the fireworks into consideration. What a joke. So there's all this stuff going on. You got concerts, you got this or that. These people are just worried about the fireworks. So what does a fireworks show last? Have you ever done a Red Hawks baseball game?
Yes, I've been to Red Hawks baseball.
Well, have you ever done the fireworks?
No.
Do they do fireworks?
I think maybe on certain events or something. I can't remember. I think we sponsored something with the Red Hawks fireworks. Well,
didn't you do the glow stick night or whatever, and then the lights went out or something?
Yeah, and once again, Star Fireworks lit their way.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, the fireworks is such a small part of a baseball game and everything else to go with it that I don't even think that, you know, everything else happening at the same time, I don't think what's another 20, not even a 5-minute show at a baseball game.
Well, right. So here's the letter to the editor. It's from thestate.com. If you don't think fireworks will affect the surrounding neighborhood, just ask anybody who lives near the Blowfish Stadium on Ballpark Road in Lexington. So it is Lexington, Kentucky. Is Kentucky near South Carolina?
No, in Lexington. Maybe there's a Lexington, South Carolina.
Maybe there is. Okay, yeah. Lexington, South Carolina. I guess I was okay. Yeah. We could now listen to this quote. We could perhaps deal with the lights and extra traffic, but the fireworks are more than just a nuisance. So, you know, she's willing, this person, I'm assuming it's Ann B. Harmon.
Yeah, it's from another Lexington. Lady. That's
Ann B. Harmon. She's willing to put up with lights, traffic. To me, it sounds like, you know, an alien landing could happen in her backyard as long as there were no fireworks involved. More than just a nuisance. Here's her quote again. They keep people awake, and fireworks are more than a nuisance. They keep people awake, terrify animals. I don't see why fireworks have to be part of a baseball game. They're totally unnecessary. I'm going to quote Sam Kinison, you know, my girlfriend left me or whatever. Could it be because the money's gone? Because there's no more fun? We go to baseball games to have fun. That's what we do.
I don't. Does Ann B. Harmon ever go to a baseball game? It's like probably watching paint dry. So without the fireworks, you would be very upset.
But it boggles my mind how these people, they all, and I love Blowy. Put Blowy on our Twitter page.
Yeah, I mean, you think the Sox game, you know, the Sox stadium has fireworks because they've got to get someone to that stadium. You got to entice them a little bit, you know.
The
Blowfish ain't going to do it for people. You got to get the fireworks in there, and that kind of makes it more exciting. And just like, isn't it the Hawks game when they blow that big loud horn you know, do I need the horn? The horn's a nuisance to me. But
right. But, I don't like horns.
Yeah, I don't like horns. But you.
But
need,
it's fun. It's a ball game. That's what you're gonna do. So, I just get upset with all these people who use animals as a scapegoat, right? And they use animals.
And then she says, "Keep people up at night." What time is Ann B. Harmon going to bed? It's a baseball night.
Right. Well,
I mean, how late does the game go? 10:30 the most?
That's at the most.
And that's even probably, I don't even think it's 10:30 during call school day.
No, I got another. So this is kind of going on this one. TheBark.com. So The Bark, and then look at it. It's got on the top here, The Bark, and then next to it in parentheses, or it's actually a trademark thing. It says, "Dog is my co-pilot." Did you ever hear that saying? "God is my co-pilot." This says, "Dog is my co-pilot."
Yeah.
So
I like that one.
While most people are thrilled by fireworks, dog families often brace themselves around holidays like 4th of July because many pets are afraid of loud noises. Not only are these sounds out of the ordinary, they're extremely deafening, especially for sensitive animal ears. Every year, there are always stories about dogs who ran away from home after being startled by fireworks. Domestic pets aren't the only animals to be affected. Researchers at the University of Guelph and Arcadia University found that fireworks can disorient flying birds, even causing some to abandon their nests. Scientists also, I want to know how they came up with this one. Scientists also discovered the day after fireworks, hens show extremely low egg production with an increase in malformed eggs. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. How could you, malformed eggs? How could you prove this?
You don't think all them steroids are shooting them up with you? Have you seen, I mean, you know, have you seen the size of chickens lately? It is, they're so small. They look more like pigeons, and I'm thinking that all this, you know, you can't blame the fireworks for small chickens and egg production from hens. I think they're shooting them up with a lot of steroids. There's a lot of other things that could,
right?
But I just, you know, and I will say, like in China, the farmer will come over to the factory, which in most cases the factory might have been there first, or maybe the farmer might have been there first,
right?
But he'll say, you know, the cow is in labor. Can you please, you know, keep the fireworks down? And I can understand that because I could see an animal in labor, you know.
Right.
You know, and I think that's cool that they respect that. And we're like, no, we can't shoot here because the farmer's cow's in labor. But I just think that now we're going to track the chickens, the hens laying eggs the next day after a firework. I mean, that's just crazy. It's all these, see, it's all, what do they call them, tree huggers.
Yes, yes, yeah, a bunch of hippies.
Yeah, I mean, well, you notice how in some of these states where they have, you know, like the most money, like California, where all the movie stars are walking around with oodles of, you know, disposable income, it's amazing how much time they have, and that's what it all boils down to, is time that they have to pick on all these other agencies or all these right. little, you know, the fur coat people
too
or
much
the
time on
fireworks because they're not going to work.
Right.
They got go get a job. And I'll tell you what, when I was working at the Chicago Tribune, I didn't have time to even read the paper, let alone talk about people doing things wrong or what they think is wrong.
It's, right.
There's no freedom. Nothing.
Keeping with the sports theme, and you know what? We don't have to talk about this very long, but I just thought you'd like to see. This is that football player, Jason Pierre-Paul. You got the pictures right there. Look at the next couple pages. Look at what he did to his fingers from those fireworks. Look at the next page.
Oh,
look at the back of that.
Jesus.
The back of that one.
Oh, yeah.
So please, people, do not do anything with fireworks you're not supposed to do. Just... this came from the dailymail.co.uk. Just Google Jason Pierre-Paul. You look at some, I mean, his hand looks like, I don't even know what.
Well, I'm looking at, did something happen to his eye, too? It looks like his eye has fallen out onto the pillow of the hospital bed.
He looks like Two-Face from Batman.
No, I mean, this looks like his eye is just like.
No, I know. I think that might be just a bad photocopy. But look at this is how he has to play football. He's like an oven mitt on.
Yeah. Well, hey, I mean, once again, with his money, he could hire a professional like myself
to come and do the show.
To come and do the show, which, yeah. You know, to anyone out there, you know, that's a thing that you might want to consider.
when Nick Como was here, when we interviewed Nick Como a while back, he talked to that's brutal, isn't it? We talked to him about Pioneer.
Hilarious. I want him to make my chocolate chip cookies with that oven mitt. Go ahead.
He mentioned Pioneer Day, so I just wanted to bring it up, and it's this way we can inform our listeners. Pioneer Day is an official holiday, and it's July 24th in the state of Utah. It commemorates the entry of Brigham Young and the first group of Mormon pioneers into Salt Lake Valley on July 24th, 1847. It's an official holiday in Utah. It's considered a special occasion by many members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Did you ever see that, the Book of Mormon play?
Yeah.
That's a great play.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So while the holiday has strong links to the Latter-day Saints Church, it is officially a celebration of everyone, regardless of faith and nationality, who immigrated to Salt Lake Valley during the pioneer era, which is generally considered to have ended in the with the 1869 arrival of the Transcontinental Railroad. So, and the celebrations for this day include parade, fireworks, rodeos, and other festivals. So it's an annual thing. If you're ever in Utah around July 24th, or I'm thinking, you know, Star Fireworks needs to go up to Utah in the end of July.
Yeah, we can make the July 24th one.
Yeah, absolutely. You get a little extra boost in sales.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then there's also something in Tasmania called Cracker Night. Did you ever hear of this?
No. Cracker Night. Yeah. Let me find this one. Oh, yeah. Cracker Night proposal divides political opinion.
Yeah, apparently they're trying to do away with Cracker Night. So it's this one with the lady on it. Forget this one. Tasmanians who want to keep the fun of Cracker Night need to speak up. Go one more down. So according to a fireworks retailer who says the annual tradition faces being snuffed out via a government review. Bright Star Fireworks owner Sherita Palmer said the silent majority who enjoyed the event needed to add their opinion to the discussion paper before the April 1 deadline to avoid a crackerless future. This year's Cracker Night on May 28th looks safe, but it may be the last one ever for Tasmanians. So it's even as far as Tasmania, people are some people just don't want to see the fireworks. The state government has commenced a fireworks review in which WorkSafe Tasmania accurately lists the issues surrounding the already heavily regulated and limited use of fireworks and presents six different options going forward.
Now, I always learn something new every day. Actually, I learn probably about three or four things new every day because I'm not that smart. So anyways, Tasmanians, these are people?
Yeah, they're from Tasmania.
See, now I've only seen Tasmanian Devil by Black Cat as a firework.
Well, that's a cartoon. The Tasmanian Devil, little guy.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So I never knew Tasmanians.
No, Tasmania is it's down there by like Australia.
And then when I was watching a couple of weeks ago, one of the episodes of Happy Days, which I love instead of the news, because you told me I can't get salty and watch the news. So I watch
that's
Happy
right.
Days.
You're doing better,
and
by the way.
Yeah, and they said we are three Tunisian camel jockeys.
Where was that from?
Happy Days.
Happy Days. I remember that.
Three Tunisian camel jockeys. So they could have actually said there are three Tasmanian camel jockeys.
Yeah.
Because I've never even heard of these people from Tasmania.
Tasmania. Yeah. You've never heard of Tasmania.
I think I've heard of Tasmania now when you say it like that, but I've never heard of Tasmanians. Are they here in Chicago?
No, but they're.
Do we have any here?
I'm sure there might be a few.
I'm sure. They got everything else here. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, but it's something that's been going on forever, and they're threatening to ruin what is it, Cracker Night? They're threatening to get rid of Cracker Night. So that's unbelievable.
And then where's this Cracker Night
in Tasmania? Right, and this might be the last one because the government is looking for new ways to regulate it.
Jesus, the government in Tasmania's got their head on backwards too.
And here's something that I don't know if you're interested in or not: some wedding deaths. Inquest opens into wedding fireworks deaths. So,
I think that's a negative thing.
you think people should just die before the wedding period and then nothing to do with the fireworks?
Yeah, I mean, I think here they always say, why did a man die before? You know, why does a married man die before women? Because he wants to. So maybe these people, you know.
Well, here, let me read the story. A firework display organizer and his assistant died after a suspected explosion and fire at the wedding of his business partner. The plot thickens. Hey, Andrew, why don't you blow this puppy up before I got to say I do right before?
Yeah,
Andrew Coates, 41, and Polly Connor.
I never heard her name, Polly. Yeah.
There was a movie with what's her name, Polly, something about Polly.
If I was married to a Polly, I would almost probably come home every day and go, Polly, want a cracker? Because I just couldn't resist myself.
I knew that was coming. Yeah, Polly Connor, we're preparing an evening display in the grounds of John Simpson's luxury cottage in Ecclerig, Colombia. This is in the UK.
Cumbria.
Ah, yes, there you go. When the incident took place. So Andrew and Polly were preparing an evening's display in John Simpson's cottage in Cumbria. The jury heard there had been 75 guests at the afternoon ceremony on the 30th of August for the wedding between Simpson and Nicole Rothwell. Oh, he's 61 and she's 44. Oh, the plot does thicken.
Oh, yeah. I could see this happening.
The couple married at 2 p.m. before guests congregated on the lawn. Oh, so it was too late. Oh, yeah. So the couple married at 2 p.m. before the guests arrived on the lawn for photographs. But at 3 p.m., catering staff recalled hearing snapping and popping sounds coming from an outbuilding, which was partly used as a storage area for fireworks. I got news for you. If you hear snapping and popping from the storage area of fireworks, it's best that you leave immediately.
Yeah.
Before the situation escalated with multiple explosions and large plumes of smoke, if fireworks were heard in all directions, firefighters were called to the scene and later found the bodies of Coates and Connor near the entrance. But this is his business partner of the storage
room. The guy that got married.
He's okay.
He's okay. This was his business partner going to do a fireworks display for him.
Yeah.
Or in charge of the fireworks display.
Yeah.
And it looks like that football player was helping him.
Simpson. OJ. Yeah, I knew you were going to say it. Yeah. So, but Simpson, the guy who got married, who's 61, and Coates, who's 41, Coates is the guy who died, but they ran a business together named Stardust Fireworks.
Oh, wow.
And jointly held a license to display stage displays.
A license to stage displays at large college.
Yeah. The opening remarks to the jury, he added that you need to consider what caused the first firework to ignite. There's got to be safeguards in place if you have a building full of fireworks, no?
Well, yeah, usually, depending on what kind of fireworks that they would be in a bunker. If they're like display fireworks. I'm not sure what they had, actually. I mean, there's no regulation for our building other than the sprinkler system.
Yeah. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting. Here's one, GDNonline.com. This one is just, the amount boggled my mind. Customs officers foil bid to smuggle 6,926,600. Who counted all these pieces of fireworks? So this is Rydia. Customs officials foil two smuggling attempts and siege large haul of fireworks at Albatha's checkpoint.
Where were they trying to smuggle them to?
Is this UK?
Maybe?
No, I think it's India. Officers searched the shipment. Yeah, officers searched a shipment of imported clothes and confiscated 6.9 million pieces of fireworks aboard a truck, reported local Arabic daily Al Rida. Albatha's customs general, I can't pronounce his name, said the officers thwarted another attempt to smuggle 4,000 pieces into Saudi Arabia. Mm. Wow. So, and here's another one. Police detained 45-year-old man, seized $10,000 worth of fireworks.
Wow.
But look at the picture on the table. Does it look like $10,000 worth of fireworks to you?
Yeah, I don't know. No, I mean, it looks like a... That doesn't even look like $1,000, unless this is just like showing you a little picture of him. Right. But, that's pretty... I like this one catches my eye.
Yeah, well, that's what I was... Yeah, New York, this is from Long Island. This guy got arrested for a DWI and possession of fireworks. Like, it's a big deal. He's got, like, enough for, like, a little party.
I mean, just have love for a show. And then you see the old Phantom Fireworks label on there.
Oh, I see that. Legion of Fire.
The sad part is the reason he got a DUI or DWI was obviously for drinking.
Right.
The reason he was drinking was when he went to Star Fireworks and found out how much money he could have saved, the guy got drunk.
Yeah, because he was at Phantom, right? Yeah, that's a good point.
He was at Phantom. I mean, he's like, holy crap, I'm drinking. Look at all the money I spent.
The picture, there's a big picture of the ground, and the police officer's foot.
He's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 pieces. 2 are 9-shot racks. 2 are reloadables. 1's a 500-shot cake. And 4 packages of, like, rockets. And that probably cost, I was just at Phantom, so that was 200.
What are you doing at Phantom?
Checking out their prices.
Do you have to go incognito?
Yeah. No.
They don't know who you are?
No, I go under the undercover boss. That's 200. This is a 300. That's 400. He spent about $550.
See, just this bit?
Yeah, see the buy one, get one free. That's buy one, get one free. buy one, get one free.
But they lost the lead on this because it's a big thing. Possession arrest, and a DWI. The DWI, he was doing 90 and a 55. This little bit of fireworks isn't going to hurt anybody.
Yeah, I mean...
are fireworks legal in Long Island?
No, they're not. No, you got to go to Pennsylvania.
All right. Next one, Minnesota. This is close to our heart in Fargo.
Oh,
I don't know if you're aware of this. So a Minnesota House panel has advanced legislation to expand the legal use of fireworks in the state. But I thought fireworks were legal in Minnesota.
They are legal in Minnesota, but I think they're trying to get them passed, you know.
Thursday, the finance approved the bill Thursday.
Which one are you on now?
Capital News. Oh. Do you have this one? I'm sorry.
It
did
be upside down.
Yeah.
New Year's Eve fireworks.
I think you're...
Okay, go ahead.
You're too far.
Okay, well, go ahead.
All right, so on a divided voice vote, members of the Public Safety and Crime Prevention Policy and Finance approved a bill Thursday that would add more powerful aerial and audible devices. What's an audible? Just bang.
Yeah, bang.
Yeah, to the list of allowable fireworks. So they're looking to add more. I love Minnesota.
Yeah.
This list currently limited to novelty devices.
Yes.
Said his bill allows local government officials to set their own rules for fireworks if they choose. Any jurisdiction, whether it be city, township, county, they have the ability to restrict sale or use.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fire chiefs and other public safety officials oppose the bill. What else is
Keep in mind that we would rather have them not have the fireworks in their state because then we wouldn't have as much business in our state.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's good.
So the fire chief said, we don't want them in our profession. The best emergency is one that never occurs, Jungman said, based on. Oh, so this would open up.
This would open up Minnesota for fireworks, which we'd recover, but I'd hate to see it. I would really hate to see it.
And it's something here in Athens, not Greece, Athens, Georgia, I want to say. And this is no big deal, but they're trying to get some bill passed which would allow fireworks to be ignited between 10:01 and 11:59 on New Year's Day. Do we really need to?
Yeah, I don't think we really need to put time limits.
Do we need to micromanage it that much? And here's one from Toronto.
Toronto City Council bizarre fireworks debate.
Yes to buying them, no to setting them off.
And that's another thing that's always baffled my mind. Like Indiana, you can buy them here, but you can't use them here. I mean, so that's just
and actually, he used the word pedestrian in his description here. Rather more pedestrian spin on matters. The local businessman wanted to sell fireworks in the week before Labor Day, just as he could be before Victoria Day and Canada Day. So there, this guy was complaining that that people should consider Labor Day more of a holiday to be revered and not one for fireworks. But the one guy does say here, the one official says, serious fireworks-related incidents are vanishingly rare. Fire services generally, look at this one. Torontonians have been very safe and responsible about fireworks. So hopefully Toronto.
Well, the Canadian people are pretty sensible and safe about everything until they start drinking. Then all bars are gone.
Then all things are gone.
Yeah, you ever seen them Canadians drink? It's incredible how like they're like, it's unbelievable. And then when they start drinking, look out. Yeah, so it could be ugly. What about this Buffalo Day?
Buffalo Grove Days. Yeah, hoping to boost music after losing fireworks. And Buffalo Grove, for those who don't know, that's here in our backyard in Chicago. But it's funny. They want to get bands like Steppenwolf, Christopher Cross. We cost between $20,000 and $30,000. You're going to pay Christopher Cross $20,000 to come here and sing, whatever the heck Christopher Cross sings. And look, they want to get Gordon Lightfoot. $30,000 for Gordon Lightfoot instead
of the record Edmund Fitzgerald.
Yeah, that's that guy. So they want him here because the village of it says that they would free up $16,000 the village could use.
So $16,000 they're going to free up. They're going to give Gordon Lightfoot $30,000. So yeah. I mean, this is why. Okay, I don't want to get into elections, but this is why we need a businessman in office. Okay, but anyways, another thing that people don't realize about Buffalo Grove is a couple of years ago, the city that wrote the most DUIs. One police officer in Buffalo Grove wrote almost 280-some DUIs. And when you calculate his days off, it's almost like two a day he wrote.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you know this?
Just because when I got years ago picked up in Vernon Hills and a guy asked me if I was drinking and I said, I had a couple things. And he said, He said, if you blow and take the test, if you fail, I'm going to park your car and drive you home.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not going to give you a ticket. If you pass, I'm going to let you drive home and I'm not going to give you the ticket. But if you don't blow, I'm going to give you a ticket for speeding.
So you were playing Russian roulette.
Well, so I asked him, I go, wait a minute, I've been drinking. I'm a little confused. But anyway, so bottom line is that was very nice. The Vernon Hills Police Department then got on a radio and said, I have a 10-something, I have, say, like a 10-19 or something like that. And they said, doesn't he have cab fare? And he says, negative. And he drove me all the way home.
Really?
He parked my car and drove me all the way home.
Well, that was very nice.
Very nice of him. And I thanked him immensely. I'm like, well, and he said, do not go get your car tonight because I'm working all night and I will see it if it's gone. And I said, don't even worry. I'm going to bed. I mean, I'm done.
I'm done.
I'll get a ride in the morning, you know.
Uh-huh.
But anyways, so I thought that was very nice. And I said to a couple of my drinking friends, I said, Vernon Hills must, the chief of police or whoever must really be, you know, must like to drink or must have a soft spot for people who drink. And then about 6 months later after my incident, it came out that the Vernon Hills chief of police was arrested in Buffalo Grove for drunken driving. So I once again, I was ahead of my time and I figured it out.
Yeah.
But Buffalo Grove then, it was stated in some, we'll probably find it on Google, that one they're leading in DUIs, and one guy wrote like 280 of them.
Yeah.
So,
well,
incredible.
People know where to stay away from.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So here's one last story about some local fireworks. This is one's from the UK. This one here with the picture.
Oh, yeah. That's a nice picture.
A man who set off fireworks. this made me laugh. A man who set off a firework rocket which shot into his ex-girlfriend's home has been told he was a very silly man and should stay in jail a few more months. Joshua.
Months?
That's what you get from this. Joshua Atchison, formerly of Briarwood Road in North Prospect, appeared at a Plymouth Crown Court where he pleaded guilty to arson. Arson. He shot a bottle rocket through her house.
I like when the guy shoots a firework into his ex-girlfriend's house, which, I mean, come on. I mean,
it's kind of silly.
Well, I mean, I love when they go, you silly man, tricks are for kids. But they would have me locked up. But he got a couple of months in jail for that, which is surprisingly. And, you know, once again, there's three sides every story, his side, her side, and the right and the correct side. But
the story is pretty funny. She, the relationship broke down. The woman asked him to leave. Mr. Hall said Atchison was described by the woman as volatile but not violent and would not take no for an answer. She eventually got him out of her house, but he persisted by sleeping outside her house. He moved his bedding to an alcove in the back of her house. Words were exchanged through Facebook. Once again,
he's
Facebook.
He's got a lot more problems.
Yes, that shooting his bottle rocket
through
his
I don't
think
he's in the right institution, to be honest with you.
This guy is wacky. On the morning of October 16th, last year, he raged at her, saying he was going to F your house up. Yeah. And despite her being single, asked her, is lover boy still there? Around 1 a.m. on the 17th of October, a neighbor smoking a cigarette outside his home heard a firework whoosh noise from a nearby house. On investigation, he saw flashing lights coming from the woman's home and a duvet and a cover at her door on fire.
Maybe that could have been from Loverboy.
He stamped out the flames and called the fire service. The neighbor saw Atchison nearby and mentioned the man's presence to the police. Mr. Hall said Atchison was in drink, volatile, abusive, and smelling of alcohol. This guy's a tattletale.
Yeah.
Detectives tracked down CCTV footage from the store. It showed Atchison buying fireworks the night before. This guy screwed.
That's what I mean. I'm telling you, you can't win with these cameras all over the place.
This guy's lawyer said it was an utterly stupid thing to do and that Atchison had been spectacularly reckless to let off fireworks in someone's homes. You never want your lawyer to say that you're spectacularly reckless. But he did know that nobody was home at the time. He noted how Atchison had been in prison and remained since October 17th and effectively served half of the 10-month sentence. Guy's been in jail for 5 months. But there's the end of the story is she's got a restraining order on him.
And the good news is he's being in prison that he's able to get away from her and maybe he'll have a better life with Bubba.
Yeah, there you go. So
there you go.
American Firework News. This is they put out a thing. They want to do webinars. And they did a survey and I got an email to Betty at fireworksnews.com. You got a second?
Yeah.
All right. Do you there? It's on the back of that one.
Okay, yeah.
Do you believe current regulations concerning the fireworks industry to be burdensome and difficult to understand, making compliance a real challenge?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Yes, no, or sometimes.
Yes.
Do you need help understanding the regulations but can't afford a private consultant?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. How much time can you allocate to understand? How much of Dino's time can you allocate to understanding these important regulations? 10, 20, 30, or 60 minutes?
I'd say 60 minutes.
All right. I'm going to email these.
He spends 60 minutes on Facebook.
At least.
Way more than that, but go ahead.
How often would you like to see these webinars? Once?
I'd say a week.
Every week?
Yeah.
Every 2 weeks. Give Dino a break.
Give him a break.
2 weeks.
Yeah, let him go to wind break.
How much would you pay to participate in a webinar?
Nothing.
Nothing. Why do they even give that as an option? Nothing or $200? I'll take nothing.
I'll take nothing for $500, Jack.
Would you prefer a subscription service for unlimited access or pay for each webinar separately? I would go separate, right? Because you might see some that you don't want.
Yeah, yeah.
Pay per webinar. What topics would you like to see? NFPA codes, ATF regulations, DOT regulations, DOT FMCSA, DOT PHMSA, EPA, OSHA, insurance. Here, you can look at it here.
I like to see none of the above.
None of the above.
No, I would like to see the ATF regulations. I'd like to see DOT and DOT FMSA.
Here, mark them down.
Yeah.
What are all those?
I would like to see ATF, alcohol to bad, DOT, which is Department of Transportation, FMSA, which is another organization because we have nothing to do with our government money. OSHA, forget them. CPSC requirements.
Why forget OSHA?
They're more about like if you get hurt at work, you know, and how high you can stack stuff, and I don't even want to be bothered.
You don't even want to be bothered with that stuff?
No. And, yeah, that's very interesting. Those are the ones I like to see.
All right. Well, yeah, I'm going to – where's the other one? Give me the front page.
Oh.
I'm going to send this in for you.
Okay, perfect.
Dino will be happy to know.
Yeah, he can read that. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right, you ready for a little fun now?
Yes, let's have some fun. Oh, Batman.
No, that's the wrong picture.
Batman again.
How did I get to that picture? You know what this is, right?
This is the Love Boat.
There you go.
When I was a kid growing up watching this, I always wanted to be a person on the Love Boat.
Which one did you want to be? Obviously, you didn't want to be the bartender. What was the bartender's name?
Isaac.
Isaac the bartender. Yeah. And
I want to be...
What was the gopher? Gopher.
Gopher.
Gopher, yeah.
I want to be Merle Stubing.
Captain Stubing.
Captain Stubing.
And Julie, wasn't she your shipmate or something?
Yeah, she was a host. She was really... I like to see a picture of her now. She was, for some reason, when I was a little kid...
was her name? Her name is...
I don't even know.
Is it Jill Whalen or Lauren Tews?
Because
we can look her up.
I think it's Jill, maybe. But
we'll look her up later.
Something about her. I always thought, I was attracted to her, as a kid growing up.
Remember when we went on a cruise?
Yes, I do remember when we went.
That was quite an adventure.
Yes, that was an adventure. You had just lost about 100 pounds.
I did. Think.
So you were like you're a ship out of control yourself.
I was. Yeah. I hit an iceberg or two that trip.
Yeah.
I remember. All I remember is the last thing I remember is there was a mustard drill.
Oh,
remember
yes.
The mustard drill?
Yes.
Well, that was like where you go before you go out to sea.
And we were like, we were sleeping. We were so tired that day. I think we stayed out late the night before, whatever, getting ready. And we had to get up early in the morning and fly to California we flew to.
Yeah.
So we actually were like taking a nap in the middle of the day. And all of a sudden we had to get up and their alarms were going off. And in fact, we didn't even see the boat leave the pier. Everyone on the love boat and we saw none of that. Yeah. None of that.
Yeah. And we woke up and then we got these life preservers on and we had a real nice cabin. We were like right next to the captain's cabin.
Yeah. We were next to we had a very nice cabin.
Cabin.
We had a jacuzzi tub. I remember mentioning that in at the pool or something like that, a jacuzzi tub,
How I got Suzanne back to the room.
Yeah, with the jacuzzi
tub. I met my Canadian girl, and I remember the look on her face, because we were so drunk. You had me drink so much wine.
You drank more wine that week than you probably ever drank since.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Add them all up together, nothing.
Yeah, like the old saying, if you get married the first year, you put a quarter in. Every time you have sex, you never take them out. I drank so much wine, I could never refill the glasses. Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't there like they served a special wine at dinner that we couldn't get in the bars at night? And didn't we like make them give us extra bottles at dinner? We were walking around with just bottles and we would
took
go.
A bottle of wine to go. A couple of bottles of wine to go.
Yeah. At least. But I remember we were so drunk and we first met Suzanne, the girl that I had a relationship with afterwards. But
which was shocking. You meet a girl on a cruise ship. And next thing you know, she's moving to Chicago living with
you. I met her on the topless. I mean, I saw her on the topless deck. After that, I was in love.
Yeah, but I mean, I was amazing. But see, that's another Canadian. They just pick up and go.
She did. Yeah. And I remember her name tag said Suzanne Canada, and I actually was dumb enough to think Canada was her last name. Yeah, she looked at me like, don't say that. And I'm like, and I remember a lot of Dramamine.
Well, yeah, you were sleeping through most of the cruise because you were so so bent out of shape and maybe getting sick from seasickness that you kept taking a Dramamine, which I thought made you, I mean, you were like tired.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I woke up one morning and you were like doing sit-ups or something.
Was
and
I really?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
if the guy would just sleep in the morning, he might be able to stay up late at night. And I'll never forget, I was sitting there, we were watching some type of show, and then we couldn't sit together for some reason because they didn't have enough seats or whatever. But then I heard these two girls going, look at that guy. He's over there sleeping, all curled up sleeping. And I go,
I remember that.
And I just said to myself, that must be Ron. And sure enough, I turned around and bang, I was zoom, just, there
yeah,
you
I was out. I was sleeping at the table during the, you know, during the show or whatever. And I remember you, we used to go to the bar at night, to the nightclub. And we realized after two or three nights, the DJ used to leave early because he was dating one of the girls on the ship. She would get done with her work in the casino, and he would leave. And we were sitting there. You're on a cruise ship. You're a captive audience. You can't go anywhere, and we would have nowhere to go by like 11 o'clock.
Yeah, we were trying to get her to stay out later with us. And she was a really nice, friendly girl. And we were on, of course, we were on a cruise ship with all old people because they're visiting their sons and daughters that work on
that
the cruise
I don't
ship.
Remember. Didn't, wasn't there a lot? Give me some fizzy drink on the Lilo. Remember that? Do you remember fizzy drink?
Yeah.
Remember the Canadians, her Canadian friend?
Yeah, I
fizzy
remember
drinks.
Something
fizzy drinks.
Drinks
on the Lilo.
Yeah.
Lilo was like the raft in the water.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I remember that. So that was a good cruise. But, you know, because it was not a lot of young people on that particular cruise ship during that particular time.
Right.
Because we went on a young cruise ship, but it was the December date is when the families come to visit the people who work on the cruise ships. We found out this.
Right.
So because of that, I guess the bars were not that busy. Like, but we were still out, and we wanted to stay out. We didn't want to go to bed because the bar, once the DJ would stop playing, then the bar would close. And so we tried to get him to stay out later. Or try to get her to stay out later with us so he would keep playing. Yeah, I remember. And then we also found out how cliquish the people who work on the boat. It should be all be like this love boat thing. That's not it should be the hate boat because they all hated each other.
Well, I went into Suzanne. I mean, that's the only reason I think Suzanne actually liked me was because I mentioned we had a jacuzzi in our room. And she's like, you have a bathtub? And me and you were looking like, yeah, doesn't everybody have a bathtub?
Yeah.
And they're like, but I went into her room and her room was probably 10 by 10, and it was, she shared it with two other girls. But 10 by 10 was the whole room, the bathroom.
Yeah.
The bathroom was the shower. You either took, you sat on the toilet or
and
you washed.
Like my old boat was. Remember, that's how it was.
Yeah. Your boat was, you know. Something. Yeah, yeah.
I'm saying that whole thing where your toilet, your shower's all one. Yeah, it's,
right. It's
unbelievable.
Well, the reason I brought that up is because somebody said here on some, was it TripAdvisor.com, and here, find this page while I'm talking.
All right.
My husband and I will be in Bar Harbor for the 4th of July this year. We were thinking that a fireworks cruise by one of the local companies would be a good way to see fireworks without dealing with crowds. Has anyone done that? Thoughts or suggestions? Well, I think she's talking more about, like, she wanted to go on a cruise. Yeah, this one here. She wanted to go on a cruise where fireworks would be, where they could fly around and see fireworks. But, you know, like, theme cruises are a big thing. Like, Kiss has a cruise. You can go on a Kiss cruise.
Yeah.
And you can, you know, the band is there or whatever, and they have. So here's a list of some cruises. I looked up a theme cruise finder.
Mm-hmm.
We got Rock and Roll Legends, Monsters of Rock. Styx has their own cruise. Kid Rock, Chillin' the Most Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas, Shiprocked, Legendary Rhythm and Blues. There's some more here. There's some good ones. Murder Mystery at Sea. I could see you doing that. Meow Meow Cruise. A cruise for cat lovers, John.
Yeah, that one I'm not feeling.
No. Star Trek The Cruise featuring William Shatner.
Come on.
Yes.
Come on. William Shatner, is he even able to travel?
Yeah. Well, come
Jesus.
On.
He looks good, though, for his age. God bless William Shatner.
Hockey Fan Cruise. I'm in with that. The hockey season's finally over.
Yeah, thank God. I'm in for that being over.
Silver Seas Cruise. Cruise into Spirit. Scientific American Travel, Croatia, and Exotic Mediterranean Singles Cruise. Ooh, that's got you written all over. Let's see. Bahamas Gay Cruise 2016.
Yeah, I'm all into that one. I would go to that. No.
Scandinavia and Shakespeare Singles Cruise. Divine Jazz Cruise.
Wine Lovers Tours. That's got my name all over it.
The 2016 Cigar Cruise. Imagine the smell coming off of that thing.
Oh, my God.
There'd be
more smoke coming out of the lobby than there would be the smokestack.
Oh, Italy and Dalmatian Coast Gay Cruise. What the heck is that?
It sounds like gays and dogs. I think it's perfect. I love them both.
Celebrating 400 years of Shakespeare cruise. The 2016 Gothic cruise. Hell freezes over.
That's scary. No, the Gothic. Anything Gothic is kind of...
Freedom cruise. Anti-Up Poker cruise.
Yeah, I just saw that. Yeah. Anti-Up Poker. What about this one? The Catholic Answers 2016 British Isles cruise.
Yeah, the Tulip. Yeah, you can do any of these.
Well, I'll be an altar boy in that one, but anyways. Okay,
to Inspire Fitness cruise. Cruising for a Bluesin 2016.
A Bruisin'?
Mediterranean Wine Lover Singles cruise.
Yeah, I like that one.
There's a lot of poker cruises.
There are a lot. Well, how about this one for Paul? Malt Shop Memories cruise.
Ooh.
He'd love a good malt shop, wouldn't he, your roommate? Yeah, he loves malts, doesn't he?
What is this one? The Love and Football Cruise. Here's one. Asia Gay Cruise 2017 from Singapore to Hong Kong.
I'm going on that one. Oh, my God. That's like a dream come true. Hong Kong to Singapore with a bunch of gay. Are they gay and lesbian or just gay?
Oh, I think that includes both.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's awesome.
The Asia Gay Cruise, though. It's all Asian.
Minty? Yeah, I'm there. That's awesome. Yeah, okay.
Minty? 7-night exotic West Caribbean St. Patrick's Day 20s and 40s. Panama Canal Gay. Panama Canal. Anything with canal and gay just seems wrong. Panama Canal Gay Cruise 2016.
It sounds like my friend John's boat, the Rear Admiral.
So anyway, so I was thinking we should have like a pyrotechnician's cruise, but actually, like if you were going to do a cruise, a firework themed cruise, what would you do? Like we'd have like a deck off to the side where people can shoot off anything they want, right? And people could just watch. You would have what else? You have like could you have like a firework? You know, anything like a PGI or whatever.
I think what we could do is we could, I sold these for a wedding, and I thought it was really kind of cool. So I think that this could be, let me just get the picture up here for us. Can show you here. It's a sparkler. It's the heart sparkler.
Oh,
With their name on there, you know, like for the wedding. So I thought, now if it's going to be a fireworks cruise, we could pass out like these heart sparklers, like your table seating, your table name, and stuff like that.
Yeah, sparklers, last sparklers.
I think we could do a fireworks show off the deck every night.
But we let people shoot their own fireworks too.
I don't know if we could do that.
Oh, why not?
I don't. I mean, sparklers maybe. I don't know if we could give people artillery shells and shoot.
They'd be shooting them through the cabins.
and it's not me to blame for this one. It's, you know, it's all these crazy terrorist groups. You never know. I mean, then they would blame, you know, Phantom, of course, because somehow he would have his products on my cruise ship. I don't even know how possible, but he would. It would be the guy smuggling him into Cumbria would smuggle him onto the ship. Yeah,
exactly.
Like, we could have Phantom. Yeah.
You could have like a fireworks themed pyrotechnician themed food every night.
I can see a big statue of Yi Tien in the dining room.
Was that the guy who
Tien invented fireworks?
Yes.
I can see like a Chinese dinner, Chinese dinner with Li Tien, like as they, you know, maybe some video footage. And then we could, with that new movie coming out, which they just asked me for more money.
Pass Fire.
I could see.
Can we get a copy of that movie?
As soon as it gets done, well, yeah.
Can we get an advance copy if you're a donor?
Tell them
we want to do a companion podcast. You know what that is?
No.
Some people do a podcast. Did you ever watch a movie with the, I guess we're done with the cruise theme, unless you want to talk more.
No, we're good.
Yeah, we're good. But I think a cruise, a fireworks theme cruise would be good. But a companion piece is like, did you ever watch a movie with the director's commentary? So you and I, and maybe even we've got the director or the producer or whatever, we would sit here and watch Pass Fire together, and we would record us talking about Pass Fire, about the movie.
Oh.
And that makes people want to see the movie, and it also gives his insight. So it'd almost be like his director's commentary, but you and I would be, you know.
Well, that would be cool if we could videotape that, you know, like the three of us sitting at a table somewhere, and then, Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert
used to do. But we wouldn't critique the movie. We would just be talking about the fireworks.
About about
right,
the fire.
What
yeah.
happened here? What, yeah. what? Yeah, about different. Yeah, oh, here's a funny thing that happened. That yeah. guy blew up 10 minutes later.
Yeah, we wouldn't right. be rating it. We would no, be right. more or less talking to
about
him about
movie.
It during the
yeah,
movie
it's called
as the movie's playing.
It's called companion piece. Yeah, and then you but we would record that for the podcast.
Yeah, that'd
so,
be pretty
yeah,
cool.
I'm thinking about getting that. So yeah, we could show Pathfire on the cruise ship.
Yeah,
right?
See, we could show Pathfire in uh-huh. the main ballroom, or whatever. The cruise
right,
ship,
right.
You know, and see fireworks all over the world. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely could be done. But then I think the fireworks cruise, I would think, should be like Hong Kong to Singapore or something like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Only because, you know, it's Hong Kong, Victoria Harbor. We could even leave with as the boat's leaving, we'd have a fireworks little send-off, you know, a
yeah.
couple big salutes in the air.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, and then... And then we could include that. I mean, that would be awesome if we could ever do like what Nancy and her late husband John did, you know, like getting people to go to China like they did.
Yeah, that would
That'd be kind of a cool thing yeah. to like do the fly to Hong Kong, do like even a small cruise somewhere, you know, theme cruise, maybe to Macau, just something small.
That
or something
actually,
like
yeah,
that.
That would be a better
and
idea.
Then
yeah,
you,
absolutely.
And then you wind up in China going, you know, to see some sights in China, but also then going to see some fireworks in China. That actually be a pretty cool idea.
A cruise, yeah. And then, but you have yeah. a bunch of theme stuff on the cruise ship that
cruise,
correlates
yeah.
with fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
Fireworks
yeah.
movies, fireworks every night, like you said, off the deck, yeah. or have a professional show. Or you can have it, you know where the boat's going to be, so you can have a professional show from land
doing
right.
it. Yeah.
Right. So this way, I don't know how, whatever, how safe it is to shoot off a bunch of fireworks from a deck. But,
from a deck, yeah.
I mean.
But if you notice, they did that, one of our competitors, Fireworks Over America, they donated a bunch of money to that, what's it, the Deadliest Catch?
Yeah,
and
you told us
about
that.
Yeah, and they actually
yeah.
shot, so they shot fireworks off uh-huh. their boat, and it was pretty cool. So you definitely could do fireworks off a cruise ship
right.
the way it is done now. I mean, it's you wouldn't, you obviously wouldn't do like a huge show, but you could actually do it and make it, and it's
right.
very safe.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's something to think about. That would be cool, though. Like, I like your idea of doing it in China,
yeah,
to Singapore or whatever. That would be great.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. Be and we could probably tie it in with the gay Asian cruise. I think it'd be fun for everybody.
You're
gonna
love that.
I'm going on it. I'm gonna find out the dates and I'm booking my trip.
You would get the only thing better than that would be the gay Asian nudist cruise for you.
Oh,
you would just put the key around your neck and you'd be like, I'm
yeah.
going to breakfast.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Remember that story.
Better than a power tool.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that story. Yeah. I'm going to breakfast.
I'm going to breakfast just like this. Oh, yeah. That would be awesome.
Oh, man. One last thing. You know who this lady is? Rose Shore.
Rose Shore. Is that Pauly Shore's
No, not
wife?
Shore. Shore. Microphone Maven. She's the lady. Shore Microphones. She's responsible for our microphones.
Oh,
she
these
died.
Microphones.
Yeah, Shore Microphone Company.
Wow, I didn't know these were the.
These are Shore microphones. Yeah.
Wow, these are cool. This is like
yeah.
People at home. This is like Two and a Half Men. I mean, well, this is.
Well,
is
yeah,
this
picture,
the,
yeah.
There's a picture of Two and a Half Men right here. And
yeah, Elvis.
And there's Elvis
with the microphone.
These are the most incredible microphones. I mean, I love coming out here just to look at these things. So this is the Microphone Maven led the company, huh? Wow.
Yeah, she died. So a brief moment of silence for Rose Shore.
All right.
We respect her product.
Oh, my God, she's right here in Niles.
Yeah, sure. That's that big building with the big sails on the side of it over there by the Leaning Tower Y. You know,
I never knew that.
It's got like a big awning on it. It says Shore right on the building.
I'm so taken by the Leaning Tower Y, which makes no sense.
Well, right.
But I'm so taken by
you know the building
that.
I'm talking about, though? It's right on Lehigh and Dewey, right on the corner.
No, I'm going to go by there and see it, though.
Yeah.
Wow.
The building was, the architect was some famous architect. And if I'm not mistaken, I think the building was built for somebody else, some .com company, and they went belly up mm-hmm. and sure bought it cheaply or whatever. Or it might have been made just for them. Don't quote me on
How
that,
long has she been in business? A long time?
Sure, microphone's been around forever.
Forever.
Yeah, I mean,
okay.
Well, look, Elvis used this thing. The
oh, yeah, exactly.
Jersey Boys,
yeah.
all that stuff. We use yeah. the Shure Super 55.
Yeah.
For anybody who doesn't know. If you want to see what it looks like, watch Metallica.
Super,
James Hetfield uses
Super 55?
The Super 55,
oh,
yeah.
yeah. No, this is awesome. It looks good for age. I think it's probably an older picture because it looks like 1949. She was a native of Dubuque and studied at University of Iowa, so she was 20 years old, 1949. That means she was born in 1929. Yeah. Could it be?
Could be.
I don't see her age.
Well, she was almost. She was. She had to be 90, 85, right? How old was she when she died?
Well, speaking of 89 and 90 year olds, I am the proud ticket holder
of
a duet concert, or duet, I guess you call it a duet concert I'm going to in down in Florida next week. I'm going to see Don Rickles at 90 years old.
Yeah.
And, I mean, just by sheer fate of the good Lord, who is going to be on tour with him but my very good best friend Regis Philbin.
Oh my God.
I mean, you talk about a double bonus ticket.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, I mean, I know people are at home laughing, but I'm telling you one thing. You got Regis Philbin and Don Rickles, you know, who is hilariously funny, but any guy that gets up at 90 years old and gets on a stage at 90, I think, and you can't even miss this show. And I'll tell you why, because you don't know, this could be his last show. Because he's 90 years old.
Well, what does Regis Philbin actually do?
Regis Philbin sings. Very good singer.
Oh, does he sing?
Yeah, he sings.
Oh, okay.
Very good
singer. I just thought
he
had to hang out with Kathy Lee. Yeah,
if you'd like to come over someday and listen to the Regis Philbin Christmas album with me, you're more than welcome.
Are you
going to
sing like you were singing Adele earlier today?
Well, let me tell you. I mean, if I could get Regis to sing like Adele, oh, my God, he'd be awesome. And then you got Don Rickles, who is, you know, is... You know, they classify Don Rickles as the comedian who spends half the show insulting the crowd and half the show apologizing. But anyways, he's comical though, and he's 90, so give the man a break. You know,
did you ever hear the story about my roommate Paul?
No,
about how Rickles insulted him.
No.
Yeah, we saw Rickles at the Stardust in Vegas, way back. I don't even know how many years ago, but he was old back then, so he was pretty old. And we were sitting by the side of the stage, and Paul tells the story better than I do. But we were Rickles didn't even say a word to anybody yet. He just comes right out, and you knew because Paul's a bigger guy, right? You knew Rickles looked right at Paul. You knew it was coming.
It's always pick on the fat kid.
Yeah,
it always
right.
is that way.
That's
yeah,
what it is. He walks right over to Paul. Looks down like because we're right there by the side of the stage. He's like, "Hey, Tiny, there's a new thing out. It's called Salads. You should try them."
Yeah.
Oh, we're dying.
Now, I heard that if Rickles insults you in the audience or whatever, then he actually invites you backstage to get an autograph or to take a picture with him. So Tiny never got invited backstage.
We never got any such request.
Oh, my God. I mean, I hope he picks on me. Of course, I think my seats are lousy, but, you know. I hope he would. I would love for him to pick on me because, you know, I could throw a couple jabs back. I mean, I'm not a prize fighter like him, but I could throw a few jabs back. But besides, it'd be awesome if that is true that he invites you backstage because, you know, I am a starstruck person. So a good picture of me, Don Rickles, and Regis Philbin would,
But your seats are lousy? You're a man of wealth and fame.
Well,
how are your seats lousy?
I'm sure they're not that great, but, you know.
Well,
I mean,
what do you mean? Where'd you get them
picking,
from?
I found them. I got them online or something. I don't know exactly how, but I got them online, and it's just going to be a great great thing. So that's and you know, it's funny how, like, when we were down in Marco Island and we saw Pauly Shore, he was performing in a fish house in Marco Island, and then you got Don Rickles at the Ruth Eckert Hall in Tampa, Florida. I mean, you know, but
yeah.
I mean, well, you know, the Jewish people in Florida have always been together, and then, you know, Florida is God's waiting room, so, I mean, it all ties in.
Florida is God's waiting room. Absolutely.
So that'll be good to see the two of them, so I'm looking forward to seeing that. So on the next podcast, we'll talk about Don Rickles.
Who are you going with?
Going down with my friend Skippy. I asked a couple of people to go down with me. Nobody wants to go, so I'm going to go down with Skippy. We'll fly down. It's in the middle of the week. Nobody wants to go, and they had their opportunity to go with me to see Don Rickles. In Milwaukee, which was a lot closer, and everyone declined. They failed miserably. So now I'm dragging them to Florida to go see Don Rickles.
It's
gonna be a fun time. So yeah, next podcast we'll be talking about.
Don Rickles. You just came back from Vegas. How was ASD?
Las Vegas was good. ASD show was really good. It was the warmest weather in Vegas since 1968.
Last time I was there for ASD in February, it was cold.
I know. This was a really big treat for me because I love warm weather. So it was really nice. So, but ASD was good. We got about a good six or seven, people probably laughing, but six or seven solid leads from a show for selling fireworks in the middle of February is pretty good. I mean, it's not a fireworks convention.
It was not a fireworks convention. It's like housewares.
General merchandise.
Were you in the taser section again?
I'm always in the military section. I hear the tasers going off. It was pretty good. And then... what did I buy this year? I always buy something there. So I met some nice Jewish guys from New York that I kind of hung around with a little bit, and they sold tape. They're tape sales guy. They sell tape and all that. I end up getting a real good deal. So I said, give me a pallet load of tape. So that was my big, everyone goes to Vegas and has like something they buy like for fun, maybe like a watch or something. I buy a pallet load of tape and I'm happy about it. But that was good. So it was it doesn't take much to please me. Some tape.
No, not at all.
Tape and didn't even have one drink in Vegas this time.
Really?
Yeah, didn't
even
have
one. Wasn't Skip in Vegas last
time? No, yeah, Skip was there. Skippy didn't go this time. So
it was you and your dad and Dino and...
And my brothers and their wives.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, and their wife. Was your wife there too?
No.
Michelle don't like personal appearances.
No personal appearances.
Is she in... Well, no, because you just came from your dad's house. Because weren't you saying you were going to send her to the Salvation Army store or something?
Yeah, I don't forget someone I was going to say. Send her somewhere. But it was a pretty good show. And then being with my brothers, being the first time in Las Vegas, was kind of fun, too, because they'd never been to Vegas before.
Oh, really?
So it was kind of fun.
You didn't have one drink, not one vodka?
No, I just wasn't feeling it, And the show was hard for me because I got to get up early in the morning. You have to get dressed and you have to...
Did you play the Batman slot machine?
No, I did. I walked by it. I was going to play it and I didn't.
Yeah.
I did play Wheel of Fortune. I gambled so little. I played Wheel of Fortune machine for about 10 minutes and won $141, and I says, or I won $155, and then I said, you know what, I played it to $141 and I left. And then I played a little bit picking up my dad to take him back to the airport, and won $55, which I could have sat at that table forever probably, and I left, and that was the extent of my gambling.
Oh, wow.
Two little things. Yeah, all work with me, Ron. All work. I'm a workaholic. I mean, that's it. And had some nice meals, though, of course. And,
of course.
Had some good meals, and that was it,
And then from here on, you're going, we're almost in April. You'll go back to China in April.
I'll go back to China in April. I haven't decided yet, but close to the end of April. Right, probably before a dealer show.
We'll have time to do another podcast in early April.
Yeah, early April, I'm good.
All right, so we'll do one in early April, and then the dealer show is the first weekend in May.
Yep.
And I'm thinking of coming out there.
That's the first Saturday in May, which this year is going to be May 7th.
First Saturday in May, May 7th. And last time, if you remember, the night of the dealer show, the night before the dealer show, we did our infamous Batman episode.
Yes.
This year, I'm thinking we might do a Twilight Zone.
Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, we need the Pyro House Playhouse players to come out again.
Yes.
We'll need Dino or Steve. We have an alien this time. We need an alien. So yeah, I think
Steve's a good alien. Yeah.
Yeah. So Steve's got the voice. So
maybe alienated.
Well, now he's married.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we need Steve and whoever else. We'll do a thing out there for that. So, but yeah. That's all good though. So
good.
Yeah, we did a lot of pyro today.
A lot of pyro today.
We got a lot of Twitter followers. So people follow us on Twitter. We're up to 184.
Well, we're getting up there.
Yeah, yeah. Some of our followers are good. We got all these new people following us. So hopefully we'll get some more people to talk to on the phone. So if you where do we go? If you want to get in touch with us, go to fireworksbrigade.com. And obviously you get all our stuff at Twitter.com, Pyro Podcast. We're on iTunes. fireworksbrigade.com. We have a new website that's a little bit more user-friendly, easier to use, and that's it. Blowy the Blowfish says goodbye.
Yep, it's another great episode here at the Fireworks Brigade. It was awesome.
All right. We'll catch up with everybody soon.
All right.
Later.
Take care.
John Brown and the Fireworks Brigade have been pirate podcasting for quite some time. If you've missed any of the previous episodes, you've missed a lot.